Welcome to the weekly podcast of River Valley Church. We're glad you're here. Our heart is to lead people to Jesus and launch them into their God-given purpose. So we pray you would encounter God in a fresh, new way today. To learn more about our church, visit rivervalley.org. Now, let's tune in to this week's message.
Well, welcome to Easter at River Valley. I'm Pastor Rob, lead pastor of our multi-site church with 14 locations. And I gotta say this, it's more fun to sing those songs on Easter weekend, isn't it? Like, he's risen, he's rolled away the stone, and praise him. And I don't know about your campus, but at this one, we couldn't even stay seated. We were like standing up, and I absolutely love that we get to do this. And that last song that we sang at all of our campuses, that was written by our team. And can we show our appreciation for that one, that new song? I'm looking forward to that one. Now, today is a shared sermon between me and one of the pastors at the campus, and I'll be handing it off in just a little bit to another pastor, but I get to open this up, and I love this. If you're not familiar with our church, we do video preaching, and we also do live preaching, and today you're going to see a combo of that. And can I just say, if you're new to the church, welcome home. We want this to be your church home. This church is here for you. We've made room for you. And we have all the pastors on our team. Each of our locations have them. And we want to be your pastors. We want to help you know who Jesus is, grow in your faith, be raised up, take care of the needs that are there, and help you fulfill your purpose. So glad that you're here. Can we, again, thank all the visitors that are here, first-time visitors at all of our campuses? Yes. Now, all across the world, people are celebrating on this weekend, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I love it. The Bible tells us that God loves the world so much that he gave his only begotten son. He sent his only begotten son to this earth. And if you don't know the story, and I'm assuming that most do, but I'll start with the assumption that some don't. The Bible tells us that God sent his son Jesus to this earth so that he could live a perfect life, live a sinless life. And I will tell you this, I don't know if I can go more than a day without sinning. I mean, you think about it, I've tried multiple days and the thoughts, and then I definitely can't drive if I want to have a day without sinning. Yeah, okay? But he lived a sinless life. That's what the Bible tells us. And then it says that he died on the cross. And why did he die on the cross? He died on the cross to pay the price for my sins, your sins, the sins of the world. See, the Bible tells us that our sins are so bad that they've separated us from God, and they're so bad they really deserve the punishment of death. Somebody had to die. And so Jesus died on the cross, and we celebrated that on Good Friday, and we remembered that we deserve death, but he took our spot. And now today we're celebrating that it didn't end on the cross, that it's not done, that there's still a whole lot more to this story, that he rose from the dead, that they placed him in a grave, and he was just borrowing it for a few days, and then he rose from the dead. And I love this, that we have the accounts in the Gospels that tell us what happened, and we see this supernatural experience that God raised Jesus from the dead. And now we're gonna take a look at John chapter 20, because I love the record of this. Jesus is alive and his grave is empty. It's now the first day of the week, his grave is empty, he's gone. And the Bible tells us that Mary Magdalene goes to the grave in John 20, and out of respect and out of her love for Jesus and what he's done for her. I mean, here's a lady that was outcast, and now she was following Jesus, and she felt love for like the first time, real love. And she's like, out of respect to Jesus, she's just going to the tomb to like prepare his body. And when she gets there, she finds that it's empty. It's empty. There's the clothes, the grave clothes are there, but he's not there. So what does she do? She runs and she tells the disciples. And she says this, she says like, somebody took Jesus. I would have thought that too. Like somebody took him. Like, and then I would have been like, why are his clothes there? But somebody took him. He's not there. So she tells the disciples that. The disciples run to the tomb and they see it and they look around. They see the grave clothes there. They see that he's not there. And then they're thinking like, we are in big trouble. We are his disciples. Everybody knows we are following this guy, and he's not here. They're going to frame us. They're going to do, like, we're in big trouble. And you could probably imagine fear was gripping their hearts. They leave. Mary is there at the grave, and she's just pondering this. She doesn't leave. She goes early, and now she's there, and she's just waiting. And the Bible tells us that she sees angels there, sitting where his feet were and where he sat. And also she sees two angels and she starts talking to them. I would love to see that conversation. And she starts talking to him and she's like, where is he? Where is he gone? And all of a sudden she hears a voice from somebody behind her, and we pick it up in John 20, verse 14. It says, at this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize it was Jesus. He asked her, woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you're looking for? Thinking he was the gardener, she said, sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you put him and I will get him. Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. I mean, she's like, it's you. It's you. She can't believe this. And in this moment, the church is one person right now. It's just her. She finally knows the message. She knows the truth that he died on the cross and he rose. The church is one person. Think about that. And that's all the bigger it was. And she's right there in that moment. She's got the best news on earth. I can tell you what, when I get really good news, I just let it leak. You know, I'm like, I got to tell it. But she's like, ah, and she's like, go tell the disciples. And I think it's very appropriate that she was the first one to know this news, because she was there at the cross, and when the disciples ran away, she was there. She took all the insult of like, are you a follower? She took it all. When others were wavering, she stood strong. And she's the first one to go to the tomb. They leave. They're thinking about the pile of clothes and getting in trouble. And she's like, where did they take him? What's going on? God, what is happening? And I love this. So she alone has this message that can set people free, the message that we're still preaching to this day. And she goes and runs to the disciples. John 20, verse 18, it says, Mary Magdalene went to the disciples of the news, I have seen the Lord. And she told them these things to her. And so I'm so glad that she shared it. I'm so glad that she said this and went out and said, hey, this is great news. Like, I need to tell you that he's alive. And can I just say this to everyone that invited someone to church this weekend? Thank you. To everyone that opens up their mouth and keeps sharing this message, thank you. Thank you that you are doing just like Mary and you're like, I've seen the Lord. The Lord has changed my life and I want to invite you to be a part of this. So she goes and tells the disciples this, and I'm sure the disciples are still thinking like, we're in trouble. We're getting blamed for this. And it's Mary. Can we trust Mary? I don't know. I mean, I don't know what they were thinking, but I know they were still very afraid. In John 20, verse 19, it says, on the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked. I mean, think about that. She tells them, Jesus is alive. I've seen him. Lock the doors. Lock the doors. Lock the doors. But it says they locked the doors for fear of the Jewish leaders. Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. I'm praying that when you hear the message today, when all around at all of our campuses, you hear the continuation of this message, that you don't lock your doors. That you say, God, if this news is good, like, I want to open the door of my heart. I don't want to lock the door. I want to open it up. And I'm praying that this message could change your life just like it changed hers, changed the disciples, and has changed billions of people throughout history and right now on planet Earth. Now look at his first message. The first message that he preached, like, he walks in the room, and the first thing he says is, peace be with you. Do you know that this is the only place that we have it recorded that Jesus says, peace be with you? Three times. In this chapter, he says, peace be with you. And it's interesting because I think at this moment, he can actually say this because now they could have peace with God. Now they could have peace because that which separated them has now been made right. Like, the price was paid. And so he walks in and he's not just saying like, calm down, don't be afraid. He's saying way bigger than that. Guys, the peace of God is about to fill your hearts and lives. You're about to understand the forgiveness that I paid for. Peace be with you. Matter of fact, peace is standing right here in the midst of you. It's a peace that you've never known. What a moment. The Bible tells us in Colossians 1:20, through the Son, then God decided to bring the whole universe back to himself. God made peace through his son's blood on the cross, and so brought back to himself all things, both on earth and in heaven. Jesus could say, peace be with you, because he paid the price so they could have peace. And I'm praying right now as we continue this message here and at all of our campuses, that you will open up your heart and say, may the peace of God be mine today. May I open up my heart and not lock it. So God, I pray right now that as we continue this sermon, that you would help us to have the peace in our lives, that we would have that peace that passes all understanding, and you would help people to unlock their heart right now to receive the peace that you paid for and the peace that only you can give. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen.
Amen. It's Resurrection Weekend, and I think it's a good time right now just to give the Prince of Peace some praise. Can we give God thanks that he didn't come through the windows, he didn't come through the ceiling. In this moment, he came through the walls. Jesus goes where nobody else can go, and the Prince of Peace wants to enter your life. And this is so important. He said, peace be with you. And it continues. This story continues. Can we start at verse 21 and just continue? Just think about being the disciples and seeing him, like, the doors were locked, and all of a sudden we see him. He's resurrected and alive. And verse 21 says, Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. It's so important that he says it twice, like, hey, relax. Peace be with you. But you could also read it as him saying, I am with you. And this Easter, Jesus wants to say to you, whoever you are, wherever you come from, whatever life you've lived, he says, I am with you. Don't leave the doors locked in your life, but let Jesus in. And Jesus brings peace to you this Easter, but he also brings purpose. And for those of you that are seasoned Christians, you might say, well, why would we spend time talking about purpose? I know I've got purpose in Christ. Well, one of the greatest selling books of all time was by Rick Warren, The Purpose-Driven Life. Why? Because people are saying, what on earth was I made for? What on earth am I doing here? Why am I here? And I want to tell you, if you've grown up in the church or you've been far from God, you have a purpose. God is your creator and he's your designer, and he defines what your purpose is. We can't just define it on our own. We need the creator who made us. He gives every person purpose. And when you pursue the Lord, he is the one who fulfills your purpose. Knowing purpose also requires wisdom. Now that I know that I've got a purpose, and now that I know if I pursue the Lord, he's gonna fulfill it, I can't escape that knowledge. Now I have to respond, and respond with wisdom. You said, I want to walk in the way of the Lord. I want to follow Jesus. And just as a side note, as Christ followers, we're not following just the way of Jesus. It's not that he lived and he died and he lived a certain way that we just follow the way of Jesus. Just a reminder, we follow Jesus himself. He is not dead, but he's alive. And we follow Jesus himself, the Son of God, the King of Kings. God's purposes are lasting. And this is awesome. God has joy when you live out your purpose. Man, I want to live a life that brings God joy. I want to do things, think things, say things, make decisions in a way that make the God of the universe well up with joy. How about you? There is purpose for your life. John 17, verse 18 says, Jesus is praying to the Father. He says, as you sent me, Father, into the world, so I have sent them into the world. There's purpose there, that you're being sent, that God has an adventure for you. He has a mission for you to be on. And it's not to just hold this truth and this life and this peace within yourself, but it's to share it with others, that God's putting you on adventure and on a mission. Mark Twain said this, the two most important days in your life are the day you're born and the day you find out why. As a Christian, those two things happen on the same day. You give your life to Christ, you are a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. And so the day you give your life to Jesus is the day you are made alive in Christ and you find out that I've been made with a purpose. And will you live out the purpose that you are made for? John chapter 10, verse 10. It tells you the purpose of the enemy and it tells you the purpose of who Jesus is. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus says, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Peace plus purpose equals abundant life. I don't know where you're at in your life, the things that you've done, the things that you've thought, the way in which you've lived, what's happened to you. I do know that we live in a fallen world, a broken world. There's a lot of shame. There's a lot of guilt. There's a lot of pain. And you might be here saying, I'm looking for an abundant life. I'm looking for something that is not just pain and tears and shame and bitterness. I'm looking for something. I need to come alive. And I'm praying right now that the Holy Spirit would be tugging on your heart, saying you were made to be alive. You were made for more than what this fallen and broken world can bring. You were made to experience the peace that only comes from God. You were made to live on purpose. Jesus came that you'd have life and life abundant. Just real quickly, I love this thought that the Christmas story is full of angelic visits. And there's this one point in the Christmas story when Jesus is about to be born. Actually, he had just been born. And the sky is filled with the heavenly hosts. You remember this? Just a few months back. The sky's filled with angels. And they're saying, glory to God in the highest heaven. And they're bringing this news. It's the great annunciation, the great proclamation that Jesus has been born. But when you shift over to the Easter story, there's no heavens full of angels. And I love this thought that that's on purpose. Why? Because now that Jesus has died, he's risen again, he's ascended to the Father. He sits at the right hand of the Father right now. Why aren't the angels in the heaven proclaiming to this world? It's because God gave you a purpose that you are the one to enunciate, to proclaim that Jesus is alive. It's our job. It's our mission. It's our adventure. And there is great joy. There's nothing like it than living out your purpose. It's not just purpose that he brings. Jesus is peace, the Prince of Peace. He brings purpose, but also he brings you power. I love this. John chapter 15, verses 26 and 27. Jesus says, but when the Helper comes, the Helper is the Holy Spirit, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me, and you will also bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. The Helper's gonna come. You're gonna receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be witnesses to proclaim. You're gonna have a new power. Have you ever felt powerless? Have you ever been in a situation? I know what it's like to be afraid, to feel like there's nothing I could do right now. I remember being in high school and depressed, and I was powerless to get out of it. But Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit, helped me dig out of that depression that I could have life again, to be delivered, to be set free. And now I would call myself a pretty joyful person. Got a little pep in my step. I got passionate. It's what Jesus can do. I remember seeing our twin boys being born and just, you know, at that moment, the doctors and the nurses, they're taking, and thank God nothing major went wrong. But I remember that moment as their earthly father going, I am powerless. Unless God keeps them alive. And here's the encouragement to the Christ follower. The same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in you. The same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in you. You have a greater power that only comes from Jesus. John chapter 14, verse 12, Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do." That's a promise. "And greater works than these will he do, because I'm going to the Father." Isn't it amazing that Jesus is saying, hey, the things that you see me do, like the things we read about in the Bible, he's saying the miracles, the healing, the deliverance, all of these amazing things, you're going to do those things as well. And even greater. I don't know how that's possible, but I'm going to believe it. And so when I'm living out my purpose, I'm looking for the opportunity to exercise the power of the Holy Spirit. Hey, you're sick, let me pray for you and believe that greater things than these will I do through the power of the Holy Spirit, that you can be healed, that your marriage can be restored, that God is after your children, that he's got a greater vision for your life, that he's gonna open up the next opportunity, that he's gonna give you a vision for your family, for your marriage, for your life, and for decades to come. It only comes from Jesus. And as we get ready to close, Jesus brings peace. He brings purpose. He gives you a new power, the power of the Holy Spirit. You don't have to feel powerless anymore. You don't have to feel afraid anymore. You don't have to feel the shame of the things you've done or the things that have happened to you can wash away, because I've got the Holy Spirit now living inside of me. But as we close, this also requires a personal faith in Jesus Christ. You know, we read the story, the disciples are all hanging out together and Jesus walks through the walls and he's saying, hey, don't be afraid, you don't gotta be afraid, peace be with you, I'm with you. And they have this moment, wow, he's alive, but somebody's missing. And it's one of the disciples, Thomas. So the Bible says that 8 days later, there's kind of a new thing that happens, a new moment with the disciples, but Thomas is now there. Can we read it together? Verse 24, "Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came." So he missed out. Some of you might have missed out. You weren't raised in the church. This might be your first Easter, showing up to church, finding out what all these energetic people are doing. You might feel like you missed out because you weren't raised in a healthy family, or maybe you raised yourself, or maybe you feel like you missed out because of your own running from God. Like maybe you identify right now with Thomas. I feel like I missed out. Verse 25, "So the other disciples told Thomas, 'We've seen the Lord.'" That's what I'm telling you. I've experienced the power of Jesus. You're in a room full of people that have experienced the power of Jesus. Life transformation, who we are today, is not because of our good doing or because we're so special or gifted. No, we have been totally transformed by the power of Jesus Christ, that the old is gone and the new is come. When you give your life to Jesus, you're not just a you 2.0. No, the old you is gone and the new you is here, and it only comes from the power of Jesus. They say, "We've seen the Lord." But Thomas said to them, "Unless I see his hands, the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, place my hands into his side, I will never believe." And maybe you're here and you've said that before. I'll never believe unless he gives me some type of sign or shows up in my room or I experience some type of miracle. And I love that God is powerful enough to prove himself. He's not intimidated by Thomas saying, "I'll never believe." But he still proves himself to Thomas. 8 days later, his disciples were inside again and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked again, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Can we just bow our heads and close our eyes right now? Jesus came and stood among them. I want you to know that his presence is here right now. That the God of the universe is here right now. This is not a show. This is not a Christian club. This is the truth, the absolute truth. That the presence of God is with you. He knows everything you've ever done, everything you've ever gone through, everything you've ever experienced. And what he did for Thomas, what we will read, just with our heads bowed and eyes closed, what we will read right now, he is doing for you. He said, "Peace be with you." And he said to Thomas, put your finger here, see my hands. Put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe. Can you just hear that from the Lord right now? Do not disbelieve, but believe. Thomas answered him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, have you believed because you've seen me? And let this be said of you, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. One day you will see Jesus face to face. One day you will be with him if you give your life to him. Let today be the day of salvation. Jesus wants to give you peace. He wants to show you and help you fulfill your purpose. He wants to give you a greater power that you can live unafraid, that you can do the greater works that he talked about. But right now is your moment to make a decision in your heart. Are you ready to make a personal decision? Christianity is not something you inherit. Oh, because my parents or because my grandparents. No, it's something that you make the decision that I need the forgiveness of sin. I want to become a new creation. I want the assurance of eternity in heaven with no more sickness, no more tears, no more pain, no more shame. I want eternity. And by the way, the best part of heaven is not the no more tears. It's the in the presence of God forever. When I was 6, I gave my life to Jesus, and I ran from God all through high school. When I was 18 years old, there's a couple different moments, kind of like Thomas had, that I believe the Lord revealed himself to me, and I made a decision in my heart. Jesus, I'm giving you my life again. Help me to never run from you again. I want to follow you. The greatest decision I've ever made is to follow Jesus Christ with all of my heart, with all of my soul, with all of my mind, with all of my strength. And are you here saying, I want to make that decision? Just with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. I know there's people watching online right now. You can make this decision as well, wherever you're watching this from. But here in the room, if you're here saying, I want to give my life to Jesus this Easter. I want him to be the Lord of my life. I want forgiveness of sin. I'm going to count to three. And when I say three, would you just lift your hand in the air saying, that's me. That's me. In 2024, Resurrection Weekend, I'm giving my life to Jesus Christ. You can do it boldly and you can put your hand right back down. I'm not going to call you forward. I won't call you out. But right now is an acknowledgement saying, I'm making a decision in my heart. I'm going to lift my hand. When I say three, would you just lift your hand? Making that decision today from the front to the back. If you've been in church a long time, I'm actually just scanning the room. I know so many faces here, and I've seen people make this decision, and I've seen the transformation that comes when you give your life to Jesus. Do you want that peace? Do you want that purpose? Ready? 1, 2, 3, all across the room. Lift your hand. Yes, 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 yes. I'm not going to say yes for all of them. There's hands all across the room. Amazing. Today is the day of salvation from the front to the back. Anybody else just making the decision? We're not going to move forward too fast. Is there anybody else saying, today's my day? Dozens of hands in this room, people saying yes to Jesus. This is the absolute truth. Let today be the day. Anybody else? And now we're going to pray a prayer. The Bible says when you believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, when you confess with your mouth that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. Right now, we're going to confess with our mouth. We're going to pray a prayer together. Everybody in the room from the front to the back, would you repeat these words after me? Say, dear Jesus, I know I've sinned. I know I've fallen short. Would you please forgive me? Today, I receive your gift, the free gift of salvation. Jesus, you are my Lord. You are my Savior. Today, I choose to follow you for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Everybody said amen. Amen. Come on, church. Easter weekend. Stand to your feet. Give God some praise right now.